she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
Me, Sybil Summers, and Waddle is here with us as well. We'll be here till 10 o'clock, taking your phone calls at 877-881-1053 or your fan texts at 43733. And you can call Autoflex despite this weather if you're looking for a car. They're open for you.
In fact, it's a great reason to call Autoflex, because who wants to get out and shop cars on a day like this? Mm-hmm. With Autoflex, you can do it on the phone at either 817 or 972-234-1234.
Or online at autoflex.com.
Exactly. And if you go to autoflex.com, you can click on our Facebook page and like us and see all of the stories we're going to do today, plus a lot more information on car news right there on the Facebook page of autoflex.com.
Got to give a quick shout out to a satisfied Autoflex customer, Eric Stewart. He's a fan. And a year ago, he sent me an email saying, "Hey, Sib, what's the deal with Autoflex?" And I said, "They're great. I've used them and I've done business with them for years and years. Here's the number. Give them a call. Tell them I sent you." And a year later, he emails me and he goes, "By the way, just wanted to update you. I got my truck this week." So he got a black Ford F-150, and he said he loves it. He sent me a picture.
Good.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Good. That is very cool.
Thank you very much for your business, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. You know, here's the other thing. I get all of the emails. I get copies on emails from our customers, and they all say basically the same thing. We did not know. It could still be so much fun and so easy to get a car, because everyone really dreads getting into that deal and having to go bargain and all that. And you don't have to do that with Autoflex. You deal with one person. They take care of everything for you, the financing, the vehicle. They take care of demo rides. They deliver to your home or office. It is actually easy to get a car from Autoflex. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier than getting out and mucking around on a day like today, too.
That's right. So every make, every model available at Autoflex Leasing, including Hondas and Hondas are making headlines. What do you want to say?
They are. Well, I was going to say it's called Autoflex Leasing, but we sell vehicles as well.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ever hesitate to call us when you want one of those wonderful pre-owned vehicles. We have all those great lease returns. People trade those in. And so we are Autoflex Leasing, but we're Autoflex Sales.
And if you found a car somewhere else, we'll do the financing for you.
There you have it.
There you have it.
You need some financing.
Oh, I got to say one thing real quickly. The lead-in music to the show is the Beach Boys, 409. And the Beach Boys are actually back together, the original group, everyone that's still alive, and they're doing a tour this year. First time they've toured in 35 or 40
really?
Years
is
the real group.
Did you see them on the Grammys last
weekend?
Oh, yeah,
they were great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the little medley they did with all the other up-and-coming bands.
Yeah.
That's cool. Foster the people and everybody.
Still probably have some of the best harmonies that were ever done, the most imaginative harmonies in music, period.
You're going to get Grego all riled up if he's listening.
He does not like the Beach Boys.
No, he loves the
Beach Boys. No, I mean, he understands the Beach Boys. Pet Sounds is maybe the first or second best album ever made in music. The Beach Boys, Pet
Everybody
Sounds.
Everybody knows their music, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, it doesn't even matter what generation.
Well, if you're old, like Grego and I.
Yeah. No, but young people know who the Beach, I mean, they get into the Beach Boys.
Yeah, they know who they are for sure.
Okay, they don't get into them. I think I was still fancying myself as young.
Right? We're all young at heart.
Yes.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Honda, because it looks like they might have some lawsuits to be
Honda.
Had.
Well, you know, last week I talked about how the court in California had found this lady, found for the lady that had sued them because she didn't get 50 miles per gallon with her hybrid Civic. And so I said there's not a court in the country that would hear that, because it's an EPA sticker. They don't guarantee it. The sticker actually says that mileage may vary with driving habits and that kind of thing. Traffic, well, guess what? Now five states' attorney general have stopped the class action suits that were moving through the courts in those states. And here's why. The lady in California won $9,800 and some change. The class action suit would pay $100 to $200 in cash and give the recipient of the winner of the suit $1,000 voucher for a new vehicle. Well, $9,800 a person is a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
So now Honda may actually have some problems with this.
Because they are fighting it, of course.
And they're going to fight it, and they're going to fight the decision in California. And on appeal, they very well could win that. But it has stopped the class action suit, which certainly would cost them a lot less money, considering I think there's 200,000 people involved in the suit, would cost them a lot less money than to pay each one of them $9,800.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a real easy deal, and certainly not a pleasant deal for Honda, but not a terribly expensive deal, this could turn into a very expensive deal. And the other thing that could happen is that could affect lawsuits
Of all manufacturers. Honda was already, I remember I had a couple of clients, in fact, that called me to complain about their fuel economy on their Honda Odyssey a few years back. I think when they went to that new engine with the economy mode and they touted a higher fuel economy. But again, that doesn't account for loading up that minivan with a bunch of people.
Yep.
Turning on the air conditioning and driving around town.
In traffic, just on exactly.
A dynamometer.
Right.
So that could be a problem for all the manufacturers for sure.
Well, and it gets even deeper than that because the point that the lawsuit was over was the 50 mpg on the window. Mm-hmm. Now, that's been dropped with the new window stickers. They no longer say they get 50, and they're more realistic. But at the same time, that's an EPA government-mandated sticker that's on those windows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So unfair.
Doesn't it sound like that to you, too?
Yes.
Listen.
Yeah.
No, unfair, please. A bunch of lawyers sat around a table and said, okay, what exactly can we get by with here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm probably out on that. So maybe it should have said, could get up to.
Right.
You know, they didn't advertise it quite right. They put that big old 50 on there, and that's what people focus in on and get stuck on.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but here's what happens when government gets involved in business.
Sorry.
Is that a horse?
Get out myself.
This is an unintended consequence mm-hmm. of the government mandating that those stickers with those mileage be on there for the protection of consumers. And it does certainly give consumers an idea of what kind of mileage the car gets, but everyone's going to get different mileage according to the driving habits, according to how you're driving the car. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Rockies and you're going straight uphill a lot of the time, it's not going to get the same kind of mileage as if you're in the desert in Nevada driving 55.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Needs to have a little asterisk next to it.
Well, it's got an explanation on there, but evidently that wasn't good enough.
I can't believe she won that.
Yep, she won.
I can't either.
Wow.
I can't believe she went for it. Didn't you? I mean, I don't. Yes, I can. Yes,
yeah,
I can.
People sue over hot coffee.
They do.
And they win.
You know, there's a certain amount of common sense that's supposed to be, you know, used, but we didn't all get the critical thinking gene.
Right. Therein lies the rub. You know, I testified in front of the Federal Trade Commission a couple of months ago on having to do with the automotive industry, the leasing industry, and a lot of the regulations that are put in place are to protect people from themselves. And I really believe in Darwin's theory. I think that the strongest survive, and everyone has the same opportunity to research, to read up, to read contracts, to understand what they're signing before they sign it, and everyone should do that. You know, we have customers that come in and just blankly just sign away contracts, and they never even look at them.
Not blankly, just without reading.
Without reading the contract. They just sign up, and it just amazes me that anyone would do that. And the contracts are long,
mm-hmm.
but every time we sign an agreement with another company, I read every word of that agreement.
Right.
Because that's what you do to be well-informed before you commit to something.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the laws that we have, a lot of the regulations that are being made are to protect people from themselves because they don't do their own due diligence. Doesn't take much. Just got to read the fine print.
I will say the people sign, I think there's a trust level, and maybe that's an old customer. I'll remember there was an attorney that the first time he ever did business with me, you know, I drove the car down to his office and I was doing the delivery there and I was in a little bit of a hurry because I had another client to get back to. But guess what he did? Read every word of that contract.
I do that.
Drilled me with questions. Just, you know, what is this? What is this? What is this? And fortunately, I knew what I was talking about. So
right.
I could just answer. And it was didn't even take me a second to figure it out. I just knew it like the back of my hand.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I think he was somewhat impressed that I didn't ever not know my information. And he signed everything, and from then on, he never read anything. All the other cars, well, I mean, he read to make sure the numbers were all the
right.
same numbers we discussed, but there was a level of trust. He knew I knew what I was doing. He knew that I was going to take care of him because it was in my best interest to take care of him so he would continue to come back.
Exactly.
I had a customer named J.H. Snow, And J.H. was an attorney also. He was the attorney for Interstate Batteries at the time. He may be retired by now, but anyway, he asked me to send him a contract one time. He said, do me a favor, just send me a contract, blank. I just want to see a contract. And I said, sure, and I sent it to him. And he called me about 2 weeks later, and he said, could you come by my office, and I just have a couple of questions for you. And I went, sure. I showed up at his office. He had a legal pad with about 5 pages, and he wrote really small. Okay, in Section 3B, what do they mean when they say? I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it a bit. I was glad to explain it to him because he was a smart guy, and he understood that he needed to know what he was signing. Because guess what? He was a corporate attorney. He knew that he had to read every line. He knew that it was the only way to do a commitment. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're falling in love with somebody. It's like you're signing your life away. Mm-hmm. So J.H. read it. He went over three to five years of your financial life. And so he signed everything after everything was done. And just like your guy, he never asked me to send him anything again because I was able to explain everything to him. And I knew my business, and I didn't mind him. I wasn't frustrated by it. I thought it was smart.
Right.
Oh, I wasn't frustrated other than my time constraint.
Yeah.
That I had, because I knew I had that other appointment. It had never taken so long to sign anybody before. But I would always be at a desk and tell them what everything was, you know, and hit the high points, the things that they really needed to know about, excess wear and tear, mileage, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, no, he had more questions. But it was all right.
You know, I guess as the bottom line to this, as a consumer, what I would tell people is stop and read everything.
Read it. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times the guy that's selling you is not really familiar with what he's selling you. I mean, it can happen in any business, any way, but especially the car business. A lot of times if you go to a car store, you're going to be dealing with a guy that may not understand that contract or may not understand the obligations, especially in a lease, because a lease has its own obligations, and whoever you're dealing with should be able to explain those to you, and you should stop and read that contract carefully, because your contract is not with a guy you're signing. It's not with a guy with his name on the building. Your contract is with the lender, the bank or the lender, and they read the contract, I can assure you, and they will expect you to live by it. So it's like, hey, call me in 3 years, I'll get you out early. That's one of the favorite things that people tell people. Well, you can, but guess what? It can cost you thousands of dollars to do.
It can, but it doesn't always. You know, it really depends right now with the market on used cars, with the values of those used cars being higher due to the shortage, they are worth more. And we have been able to trade people out early. It's been really crazy. Not every brand. It depends on which
vehicles.
There's
no guarantee.
There's no guarantee, but when you do business with us, guess what? We can tell you, we'll call you when the market is right. We have a program that runs, you know, our payoff. You should be about right here in your payoff, and according to these miles and according to trade-in values, it's worth this much, and boom, we can see when you are either break-even or you have positive or negative equity, and we'll give you a call and say, hey, you're in a good position. Do you want to trade now?
Bottom line, find somebody you like to do business with. Find somebody you can trust. Find somebody that will answer all your questions before you sign a contract. And when we come back, we'll get to some of these great fan texts that are coming in.
So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. If you have a question, now is the time to call. Get yourself some free expert advice while we're here. Or you can fan text us at 43733. You can even call Autoflex. Maybe you are thinking about getting a car and you just don't want to get out and schlep around in this muggy, gross, dirty weather.
Schlep.
Schlepping.
Yeah.
Schlepping. No schlepping today.
You don't have to do it. You can do it all over the phone or online. What are the phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Online, autoflex.com. Out of the area, 888-234-1234.
Autoflex has got you covered, wherever you may be. Speaking of fan texts at 43733, we're starting to get them in now. People have questions about new cars.
First fan text, I have a 780 credit score. Can I get a 0% interest on a new car? No doubt. I would say almost without a doubt, unless you don't have very many lines of credit, you could. Now,
tell
here's the interesting thing.
Means,
yeah,
dude.
Here's the interesting thing. When you see those ads, you're seeing an ad by a manufacturer, doesn't matter who it is, could be anybody, and they're advertising a payment, but they don't actually own the car when you go in to get it. The dealer owns the car. It's been sold from the manufacturer to the dealer. So here's what that means. And here's what it says in the fine print on those ads. Dealer participation may be necessary. Payment may vary. Could involve blah, blah, blah. What it means basically is there is really no such thing as 0% anywhere. No one loans money at 0%. So if there's a rebate, you may have to give up that cash rebate in order to get the incentive interest rate. So it costs you money to do that. Now, if you look at how long you're going to keep a car, driving a car, that kind of thing, you keep a car 3 to 4 years, the interest may not be the issue. Depreciation is the largest cost of owning a car. Mm-hmm. So where are you going to be in 3 years if you take a 0% five-year loan? How much are you going to owe still on the car, and how much is the car going to be worth?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what you need to concentrate on. And to get the 0%, you may have had to give up a couple of $1,000 in rebate. So there's a lot of things to consider when you see that. And everyone, that's another thing everyone should read. Everyone should read the fine print on those ads, because what it basically explains is, yeah, we'll say this, but this really isn't real, because this is not what's going to happen when you get there.
So basically, your 0%, you'll probably give up a rebate. It's usually this or that. You don't get both.
Right.
And a lot of times it's for 2 or 3 years. Well, there's a payment we can all afford. And then, if you don't keep the car, you kind of lost out, because you really should have gone with the rebate.
Yeah, and remember that taxes are never included in any of those advertisements. So right. Sales tax is another issue that you have to deal with.
But interest rates are super low right now anyway. So that 0%, I would take the rebate anyway. Because if you have a really good credit, like you're talking about this score, you're going to get a super low interest rate. We've done 2.9% financing on pre-owned cars.
Actually, did you get a 1.9? We had a 1.9 approval yesterday for somebody with great credit on a pre-owned car for 72 months, which is a little crazy.
72 months for
1.9?
Yeah, 1.9. Wow. Yeah. So see, forget the zero. Take your rebate and, mm-hmm. you'll still get a low interest rate with good credit. We got another fan text. I have a question. Which vehicle would you recommend? They are needing an SUV with a third row, midsize, and they like the Ford Explorer Limited or a Toyota 4Runner or something comparable. His wife likes a couple of those vehicles. Well, gosh, I like both of those, and there are quite a few more in that category that you should consider. I think it would be a matter of what your wife prefers. And what I suggest when my clients call and they say, well, we want an SUV and we want these items,
mm-hmm.
and they're open, then we talk about budget, because everybody really does have a limit on what they're willing to pay.
Of course.
So then we dial it down to how long they want to keep the car, the miles they're going to drive, and the budget. And then I select the vehicles that are in that category, bring them all into AutoFlex. They come in, test drive all of them all at one time. Well, one after another, clearly. We just tow the others along so we can, they test drive. You can compare them side by side. So how many places can you go where you can drive that brand new Toyota, the brand new Honda, the brand new Chevy,
yep.
the brand new Lexus all at one time?
Right.
Only at AutoFlex.
Well, and does the dog kennel fit?
Right.
How does the back seat and the front seat, how do they work when you put the baby seat in there?
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff is really, really, how many people can you actually put in the third seat, and do they need to be no taller than the little sign at Six Flags?
Right.
Where it says if you're this tall, you can ride. If they're taller than that, do they fit in that third row? Because that can be a real consideration also.
Exactly.
And
so,
oh, sorry. Great advice I've heard you guys mention, though. Right. If you do have a baby seat that you need to fit in there, bring
the
it
car
with you.
Seat, right. I had a client with a couple of big dogs. And she wanted a Volvo station wagon. And at that year, they were doing the little V50 and the V70. And the 50 was so cute and sporty. And that's the one she really wanted. But she wasn't sure her 300 pounds of dogs would fit in the back. So she brought
these two huge dogs.
Well, aww. She brought this huge, moving blanket. You've seen these thick moving blankets.
Yep.
She lined the inside of the car. She didn't own it yet. She didn't want to leave
mess
a bunch of dogs
up.
Here, which was really, really nice. She lined the back of that car and then let the dogs, and she was downsizing from a Tahoe with poor fuel economy to something with better fuel economy. And those dogs jumped out and jumped right in. It was so funny when she closed that hatch. All you could see in the windows was just fur. Just jammed up against the windows.
Aww.
And she said, they fit. That's good. I'm taking this one.
Perfect.
It was really great. But she did try the dogs on in the car. If that makes sense.
It does.
Okay. A very enviable position, I would think. Here's a fan text. I owe $4,000 on my 2003 Honda Civic with 101,000 miles. Should I trade it in for a new Honda Civic? I can put $3,000 down. I have a 646 Beacon score. Okay, you could put $3,000 down, but I wouldn't. Cars tend to lose value very, very quickly. So when you put money down on a car, it basically just goes away the moment you put it down. And if you compute the difference in payment on whether you put the $3,000 down or not,
$60 a month, maybe.
How long it would take you to recover that $3,000
to put it back in
into, yeah, it would take a long, long time. I never suggest people put money down on a car unless it's absolutely necessary to get financing, and then you have to.
Right.
But don't put the money down. Your car would work great as a trade-in. New Honda Civic. There's about to be some mid-year changes in that Honda Civic, and the 2013 that's going to come out is going to have some major changes, just so you know.
Mm.
They've gone in to make some serious major changes in the 2013 Civic. So you might want to look at that also, because that may be something you want to wait on. You got a 101,000-mile Civic. It'll run till next year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'll have more money in the bank by then.
That's
right.
True.
Well, but we don't know what the new ones will cost with the new changes. It'll be a little bit more expensive, I'm sure.
Not much.
But if you do like one of the current generation Civics, then you like even a previous year model that came before this. It just kind of depends on what you really want. Do you want
there's a lot
brand
to look
spanking
at
new, or do you want to go pre-owned? But it might be worth, like David said, checking out the brand new generation.
Right. Because
there were some complaints about the interior being too plasticky and so forth. Are we doing leasing? No, we're not doing leasing on a Tesla.
No. Actually, we can lease a Fisker.
Really?
We have a lender that will lease a Fisker. Yeah, because the lender owns a Fisker dealership.
Uh-huh.
So I've not leased one. We've not leased one yet, but if you wanted a Fisker, we can lease it to you.
What is a Fisker?
It is an electric car. It's an all-electric car. And we're going to talk a little later in the show about how much money you would spend to drive an electric car.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about how much you're spending right now.
Not driving one.
Exactly.
First, though, let's talk about J.D. Power's new dependability survey.
Good old J.D.
J.D. We'll have to split this over the break because it's a pretty entailed story, or maybe not. I don't know. Here's the deal.
Race through it.
The cars are being built better than they've ever been built. So this year, when J.D. Powers did their dependability study, all the cars as a whole got the highest scores, and there were the highest overall scores in the history of the world.
Wow.
Previous to this, 2009 had the best scores, and they were greatly improved as manufacturers really began to work on quality. But in 2012, huge differences in the scores. The other thing is Toyota is back on top as far as dependability. If you look at the most dependable cars, Toyota has like 5 out of the top 10. If you look at subcompact, the Toyota Urus, compact car, the Toyota Prius, compact sporty car, the Scion TC, mid-size car, this says a lot, Ford Fusion, large car, Buick Lucerne. Isn't that great? Then premium entry car, ES350, a Toyota product, followed, in fact, tied by the Lincoln MKZ. Mid-size premium car, Hyundai Genesis. And that says a lot for Hyundai and where they've come from. Multi-purpose, Scion XB, another Toyota product. Compact crossover, and this is a car I like a lot, Chevrolet Equinox. And remember, folks, these are dependability ratings. These are cars that in the first year have the fewest problems reported by the manufacturers. In other words, the fewest warranty claims. Unfortunately, at the very bottom of the list is the Chrysler division cars. Chrysler, Dodge, and Ram all were rated not near as well as all of the other manufacturers. So, and they're aware of the problem, and their chairman has said, Marchione has said, that quality is what they're going to work on first before anything else. So we should see some great improvements there. And that was a 10-minute story done in about 2.5 minutes.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, Waddle says it's time to break.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, me, Sybil. talking cars on an early, dreary Saturday morning. And also taking your fan texts at 43733. If you have a question, as always, you can call us, 877-881-1053. That's the number to the studio. If you're interested in getting a car, you can also call AutoFlex and David. What are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web, 888-234-1234. If you live way out where you can barely hear the radio.
That's right. Or you can log on to AutoFlex.com. Click on the Facebook link. Follow along with all the stories we're talking about here on the show. Let's talk about the Nissan Leaf, because electric cars getting lots of publicity these days, and you had the chance to drive one. Break it down for us.
Yeah, we did. Grubbs Nissan was nice enough to lend us a Nissan Leaf, and we drove the car, tested it for a couple of days, and it's really an interesting car in a lot of ways because, number one, it's got an electric motor. It doesn't have any gasoline engine at all, so you're running on electricity, and that's one of the stranger things. The other thing is there's no motor noise. I don't care what kind of car you drive, even a big, nice Lexus or a Mercedes, there's always that hum of the motor in the car. There's you can feel it, you can hear it. There's nothing.
Strange.
So you hear the tires roll. If you really accelerate a lot, you can hear a little bit of a weep, you know, a little bit of an electric motor sound. You hear the wind going by. You hear yourself breathe.
You still feel the road bumps, though.
Yeah, you still feel the road bumps.
It has everything the Jetsons have, except you're not floating. You're not hovering.
So there's not even a backup gasoline reserve?
No.
Oh.
And that's what we're going to talk about. We'll
Anxiety.
Yeah, we'll talk about the car a little bit. I like the car. I thought it had nice features on it. It was it was very ergonomically designed. Had some really cool computerized stuff. Shows you how much battery you've got left, how many more miles you've got to drive, how quickly it's discharging. One of the other interesting things that I never thought about with an electric car, you get less time on the highway than you do around town. In a gasoline car, your mileage is better on the highway.
Right.
With an electric car, your mileage is better around town.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just the opposite. Never had thought about that, but it runs the engine faster. Yeah.
Oh.
So you get less mileage on the road. I never, and it was, as far as the accoutrements, it was a nicely designed car, big on the inside, lots of room, headroom.
Very roomy.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Four people very comfortable in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not five, probably not three in the back seat. It's not set up for five.
It's a
four-passenger car.
Definitely four.
A little shy on the trunk room. Not a lot of trunk room in it. This is not a car you're taking on the road.
Mm-hmm.
No. This is not a car you drive. You hop in the car and drive to Houston, because right now that would be a task.
You'd stop a lot to plug.
You'd
in.
Have to stop a lot.
How long does a charge last?
73 miles.
Ooh.
Which is the most accurate figure we've been able to see.
What the EPA says.
Yeah, and it's pretty accurate with all the test driving that we read about, where people actually took them out and took them on the road.
They had them like 6 months, and that's what they verified, 73.
Yeah. One of the things that I thought was, for me, I never didn't think about what if it runs out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you run out, you are where you are.
Yeah.
You can't get somebody with a gas can to come out and fill you up with electricity.
Right. Bring the extension cord, George.
Yeah. And that's the other thing.
Gonna need a charge up.
110-volt charge from your house, regular, just plug it into the house voltage, 20 hours to recharge.
Wait.
Oh, my gosh.
20.
Yeah.
Hours.
Now, for $2,200, you can get a fast charger.
Faster.
It does.
Yeah.
For 20, but you don't drive your cell phone. If you get for $2,200, you can get a quick charge, which increases the voltage. You can put it into your house. You have it installed by an electrician. Drops the charge time to 6 to 8 hours. You're fully charged. You can actually do an 80% charge in about 30 minutes on a quick charge.
Hmm.
So there's some different things. There's no really a lot of places to charge it other than your home.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an issue. If you live very close to work, not an issue.
Right.
Your home and back and that kind of thing. Around town, not an issue. But I never didn't think about running out of electricity.
What if you need to run to Fort Worth?
Then it becomes an issue,
mm-hmm.
because you can't get there and back.
You have to find somewhere to charge up while you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't have all these charging stations set up
right.
already.
And even
the people
so,
who were supposed to build those have already gone bankrupt, haven't they?
A lot of them.
They've already taken their billions from the gov.
Anyway, and that's the other thing. Of course, there's a $7,500 tax credit that you get if you buy the car, which helps with the cost of the car a great deal and makes it not as expensive. But if you looked at other cars for the same dollar figures that you're spending, gasoline cars, you're certainly going to get a lot more car for the money with one of those.
And what about the range anxiety? I'm calling it Rangxiety.
I like it. Rangxiety.
I don't think you could get over that part. 73 miles, that's it. By the time we got the vehicle from the dealer, we drove it around a little bit and we had to charge it back up before we could take it back.
Where did you charge it?
We plugged it in.
For 20 hours.
Yeah, we plugged it in for a while.
That is so crazy.
Well, you know, I mean, it's what everybody... The big push is to drive an electric car. Mm-hmm. You hear about it. You see about it. There's a ton of money going into it. And that brings me to the next point. What would you pay, Sib, to drive an electric car?
Well, I guess if I could get it for $10,000, I would use one.
Okay.
Even with
Waddle?
Okay.
What would you pay to drive an electric car?
Zero.
Okay. What if I told you you were paying to drive an electric car right now?
Well, that doesn't make me very happy.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. The $7,500.
You're paying and you're not driving one.
That's $7,500 tax rebate.
Uh-huh.
That's our money.
We're okay? all paying it.
That's the tip of the iceberg because right now it looks like U.S. taxpayers will kick in about $3 billion in federal and state loans, rebates, grants, tax credits toward the production of only one car. The Chevrolet Volt.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. $2.4 billion from the federal government plus $690.4 million from the state of Michigan, because the state of Michigan is kicking into Volt production also. Contributions...
Say that slowly, David. The impact, you say it too fast.
$2.4
billion. And how from much the federal from the government. State? How much from that state?
And Michigan's giving $690.4 million to just build the Volt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the contributions go directly to GM, while others go to other companies that supply Volt parts. For example, the Department of Energy awarded $105.9 million to GM's Brownstone plant that assembles the batteries, and the Hamtramck assembly plant received nearly the same amount in state credits to construct the facility for electric drive systems. Delphi, a former division of GM, receives $89.3 million to expand manufacturing facilities for electric drive components, and Compact Car, a company that supplies Volt batteries, has been awarded $100 million in reusable battery credits through a combination of tax breaks and tax subsidies.
Cash subsidies, tax breaks,
refundable.
Yeah. All right,
cars have we sold so far?
6,000, 8,000.
8,000. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if anybody added
That's
all this up, but go ahead and add the TARP money, too.
The what money?
The TARP money, the bailout money.
Well, this all goes directly to only one car, the Chevrolet Volt, which means that we're all paying to drive an electric
have
car.
Have we gotten into the space industry money yet? I mean, have we gotten it high?
I think it's pretty well close. Yeah.
So buy space programs. Hello, car programs.
Uh-huh.
Car, that's what we're
Thank you.
It should have that sound. At least that would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. There's
that would be cool.
There's nothing but the outside road noise that you hear. You just have to turn up the radio so you don't hear all of that, because you don't have that engine drowning out some of the other things that you
Well, and we didn't actually test this, but the Nissan makes the Leaf makes a noise. Mm-hmm. If you approach something in front of the car, it makes a noise so that if somebody's walking in front of it, they can hear something.
A sensor of some sort.
Yeah, because otherwise the car is silent.
I bet you one day, if we do reach a time where everybody's driving electric cars and that's the norm, you'll be able to choose what kind of sound you want. Kind of like you
really
choose a ringtone for
mm-hmm.
your cell phone.
They're working on that.
Really? And you can choose whatever sound you want?
Well, no, they're just working on what kind
movies.
Of sounds.
What was it? That movie with
you're supposed to know before
swingers
you
and
yes,
anyway, they
I know
were trying
what you're
to
talking
come
about.
Up with a sexy...
With Vince Vaughn and Kevin James.
Vince Vaughn and Kevin James, yeah.
That's who they are.
I can't remember the name of the movie.
They were trying to come up with a real sporty, kind of from a sound from yesteryear from those old 60s cars.
I want the General Lee.
That'd
be a cool
like
sound.
That. Yep. Okay, a couple of fan texts real quickly. What's a better truck, a 2011 F-150 or a Chevrolet Silverado?
That is personal preference,
It is,
I
because
believe.
They're both great trucks. Mm-hmm. They are both great trucks. I couldn't not recommend one. I can tell you that General Motors probably a lot of, because of where their financing is coming from, mm-hmm. is pushing to build a lot more small cars than trucks. Ford is heavily into the truck business, and you're going to see them in the truck business. I don't think they're going to change that.
But two of the fellows at work have recently, one leased a new Ford, one leased a new Chevy.
Right.
So it's a matter of opinion.
Up next, we're going to dive into Grego's list of the best American-made cars, and we're going to get expert opinions on what Grego thought from David and Tammy. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David, Tammy, Waddle, Sybil here for you. 877-881-1053 is the number. The fan text is 43733, and David, we got quite a few of them.
We do. I own a 2004 Nissan Armada. It's paid off, and I'm looking to trade it. 135,000 miles, above average wear and tear.
How much can I get for it?
I don't know. I can give him a round idea, scientific wild guess. Now, here's the first thing: no one should be able to tell you what your car's worth on the radio, and here's why: you got to see the car.
Really?
Yeah, because there's so many differences. And if you want to get the very most for your car, you should have someone look at it because you can get more money for it that way. I own a 2004 Armada. 135,000 miles. I don't know which model. If that's an LE, it's worth about $9,000. If it's an SE, it's worth about $8,000. Now, that's wholesale, and that's what you get when you trade a car in.
If you want to sell, with 135,000 miles.
Well, yeah, with 135,000 miles. If you want to sell the car yourself online or deal with that and talk to the people and go through all that, you can probably get a little more money for that. You'll get a tax credit for the amount that you're going to trade it in for against your new purchase that you will give up if you sell the car yourself. So you have to factor in
$600 in
sales tax. Round figure, you're going to get about $600 in tax credits. So the first $600 more you make is a break even for you if you sell it yourself. So I have bad credit. Thanks to my wonderful ex-wife. We'll give her credit for that. Is a cash sale or a tow the note the only place? No, there's not. The only place that I may be able to go to get a car. Autoflex 2 is a division that we started to help people that have wonderful ex-wives just like you. So
ex-husbands.
And ex-husbands, right? Certainly. You didn't know them before you married them? Anyway, we had that conversation during the break. If you want to give us a call, either office, 817 or 972-234-1234. They have people that special. We have people that specialize in helping people that have damaged credit.
When good spouses have gone bad.
Exactly. So give us a call at Autoflex. Ask for Autoflex 2. They'll be able to help you with that. Is the Kia Sorento a good SUV? Yeah, it is. There's a number of SUVs that are good SUVs in the same size and price range. But I have no problem in telling somebody that's a car you might want to drive. And a few years ago, I would have. Now, I would also tell you, you should drive several other cars like it and make a comparison for yourself, because you're the one that's going to make the value decision. It's your money you're going to spend.
Yeah, but whenever I don't know, I make the Courtney on the Bachelor face whenever I think of the Kia Sorento.
Okay, that's fine.
That's just my opinion. I mean, is it good? It's okay. Compared to others, there are better.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, there, I've said it.
Right.
There's better.
And that's what you get, unbiased opinion.
Because, and here's part of it, like David says all the time, depreciation is your greatest cost of driving the vehicle, and that vehicle doesn't hold its value as well as many others. So, is it a good car? Does it have the safety features and the cool gadgets that you want? Sure. But I look at the overall cost.
Gotcha. Okay, so yesterday during Rage, Grego decided to do his top 10 favorite American-made cars. And I wanted to go over the top five with you guys and get your take on it. Okay. He said the years don't matter. He just loves these particular cars. Number five on his list was the Chevy Bel Air.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what year he's talking about. I personally would have said Impala just because it was the high line of the car and the Bel Air was the midline.
Mm-hmm.
Great cars, though.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous cars. If you go back to the late 50s, early 60s, or 60, especially 60 through 64 or so, you could play tennis in the back seat of those cars. They're so big. Yeah.
Hey, there would have been plenty of room for those Subaru people.
Yes.
In the back of that Bel Air.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Number four on Grego's list was the Ford Mustang. Can't disagree with that one.
No, love no. 64 and a half Mustang. Fabulous car. Came out. Most people don't know they didn't have air conditioning in those cars because they wanted to keep the list prices down.
Oh.
So they didn't put air conditioning in. If you wanted air, you put a hang down unit under the dash.
My mother had a 67 Mustang, and it was stolen from the Dallas Police Department parking lot.
Oh, my gosh.
Back then, I don't know how it is now, but they didn't have enough parking, so they had a parking attendant. You'd park your car and leave your keys with the attendant.
Mm-hmm.
They never did. I don't know how they didn't prosecute the attendant, but that car was stolen from that parking lot. Yes, it was. Then I bought a 67 Mustang GTA convertible quite some time ago, had it for a little while and sold it to my uncle. But Mustangs are great.
They are. Did they ever recover your mom's car?
Nope. Nope.
Oh my gosh, how crazy is that?
It was turquoise.
A lot of Mustangs, because the parts fit over a number of your cars, a lot of Mustangs are stolen just to part out.
Still to this day, huh?
Yep.
That was in the 70s that happened.
Number three on Grego's list, the Pontiac GTO.
You can't argue with
that
at all.
Can't go wrong with
that one. Yeah, GTO Judge, 1965 GTO Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome car.
They are cool looking cars.
Yeah.
Two was the Ford Thunderbird.
My first car.
It was?
Yeah.
I like the newer ones. You know how they kind of have that retro look, but yeah.
Ooh, we bumped into a Thunderbird Club.
Yeah, there's a Thunderbird Club that meets at a little restaurant, Southern Recipe or something like that, on Campbell.
Uh-huh.
They meet every Saturday morning, so they're probably having their breakfast right now.
How cool.
And they've got old Thunderbirds and new Thunderbirds.
And new Thunderbirds. Yeah. And the new retro.
We saw a 57 there with a Continental kit on the back.
Neat.
Yeah, really, really cool.
And number one on Grego's list of the best American-made cars, the Corvette Stingray.
Oh, yeah, sure. 67 Stingray.
He's smart.
Yeah.
He said that if he was just going to do a list with years, all 10 of them would have been Corvettes of different years.
One of the
American sports car for sure.
Yeah, one of the most expensive old cars that you could ever try to find would be a 63 split back window Stingray. And that's the one that had the two back glasses with a split down the middle.
Uh-huh.
Very, very rare.
What do you think that would go for? You have any idea?
Oh, $150,000, $200,000. Yeah, a lot if it's fully restored.
Wow.
So it sounds like he made some good choices then on his list.
How about movie cars? Did he do movie cars too?
He did. He had the Batmobile on there.
Yeah.
The Munsters car.
Oh, sure.
How about the Beverly Hillbillies truck?
He did not include that one. He had General Lee, the Smokey Bandit, Trans Am.
Oh, yeah. And the Bandit, sure.
Yeah.
Munster Mobile, and James Bond's Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah. Grego's got it down.
He didn't have the Starsky & Hutch Gran Torino?
No.
I was all about a Gran Torino as a kid.
You have to practice to slide across the hood, though, like he did. You do. Okay, what happens when a bad idea goes bad, right? Valentine's Day last week. I'm not sure, but I guess it's illegal to drive around with a tied-up naked woman in your back seat. I'm not sure. It seems that a couple, and if you go online and you look this story up, you can see this couple, and maybe it'll explain a little more. But a couple decided that they would have a little role-playing game. Nine policemen in the Portland, Oregon area tracked down this car after numerous reports came in from a mall saying that there was a guy with a goatee who looked a little shady driving around in a car with a naked woman tied up in the back seat with duct tape over her mouth. Okay? So one of the people reported the license plate
Sounds
number.
Sounds good so far.
The police, yeah. Why not?
Every weekend, that's what
sure.
I do.
So they report the police, they report the license number. The police are able to locate an address, so they all head toward the address. And sure enough, here comes this little blue Subaru with a guy in a goatee. And guess what's in the back seat? A naked lady tied up with duct tape over her mouth.
He's in a goatee and she's in duct tape.
Yep. So they surround the car. They approach the guy. He comes out with his hands up. They say, "What's going on?" And he goes, "This is our little Valentine role play that we do."
Mm-hmm.
I swear to goodness.
Wow.
This is a true story.
Kidnap the lady from the mall, strip her down, and take her home.
Yeah. So anyway, look it up online. You look at their pictures, you'll see what I'm talking about. They arrested them both for disorderly conduct and took them to the county jail.
You know, this would be a good advertisement for tinted windows.
Right.
If you are going to be a little kinky in your car, I'd say get your windows tinted.
Or do it at home. Why did they feel the need to go be in public? I guess it added to the excitement.
A bad idea gone wrong.
That's
bad
right.
Idea. Yes.
It sure was.
And now they are national news.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like your kink spread all over the...
And your pictures.
Yeah. When good kink goes bad.
That's right.
On Valentine's Day. I don't know. Maybe it was the wrong holiday. They shouldn't have been. Halloween makes more sense.
That is all true. Right,
real quickly, next week we're going to talk about the 12 best cars in value according to Fortune magazine. That's coming up for us. Also, a lot more regulations coming out about texting while driving and using cell phones while driving coming out of Washington this week. So a lot of things that people may agree or disagree with because the government's going to become a lot more involved, evidently, in what you do in your car. And it has nothing to do with being tied up with duct tape.
But listen, if this matters to you, pay attention, get involved. If you don't want people to text and have all of those abilities to do the, you know, distracted driving, then get involved. If you do want to keep your rights to do that thing, get involved. Don't just let it happen because the feds are getting involved and we have to make noise for the direction we want it to go, right?
They have their hands in everything else, so why not one more thing?
Oh, geez.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Waddle. He's right.
You're welcome. My 2 cents.
So they have their hands in my pocket, that's for sure.
That is for sure. All right, we'll
Where's my vault?
Next week with more
Revolt.
Saturday morning test drive. In the meantime, you can call AutoFlex at either 817 or 972 or 888-234-1234. Also, the website autoflex.com, where you can follow along with all the stories we talked about today just by clicking on the Facebook link. Chris Arnold is coming up next. Thank you to Waddle for helping us out today, as he does every week. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning. To the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in